Encuentro Radio es periodismo, derechos, igualdad, dignidad, mujeres, inclusión, masculinidad, arte, expresión, libertad, esperanza, cultura, ecumenismo, literatura, historia y análisis. Pero en realidad somos una gran familia. Bienvenidos y bienvenidas a Encuentro Radio. ¿Te perdiste tu programa favorito? No te preocupes, en Encuentro Radio subimos todos nuestros programas en versión de podcast. Encuéntralos en www.encuentroradio.com.co y disfruta de todo el contenido que tenemos preparado para ti. Encuentro Radio, la emisora de Cepal. Comienza un programa de Encuentro Radio.
Communication,
agriculture,
education, children,
youth,
health,
migrants,
climate,
ministry,
community,
engaging,
connecting,
growing,
real stories,
real impact,
open space conversations.
Every other Tuesday,
10 a.m.
Colombian time.
Unión Encuentro Radio.
Hello, friends, family, and new audience. Welcome to another episode of Open Space Conversations, a program organized by GMFs of the United Methodist Church, cohort 2025 to 2027. We are so happy to continue with this meaningful space where we can share our stories and personal experiences as missionaries around the world, and this is our program number 7 of this new season, so we're so excited and glad to have with us today two guests, really special guests, and I am so excited to hear what they have for us today. I'm Natalie Monterrosa. I am from El Salvador, and currently I'm reporting from the headquarters of CEPAL and Encuentro Radio from Bogota, Colombia. And this program I hosted alongside Hannah Reasoner, but sadly, she's not here with us today, but this is not a limitation to keep this amazing program, like, live. And as you may know, this program has taken shape over the years, and in this season with our cohort as missionaries, we have two special guests every episode, and they are going to interview each other and share their stories through an open and genuine conversation. And in this opportunity, we have the pleasure to have Olivia Zulu and Jeremy Nsenga. Olivia is from Zambia, and she is serving in Kenya right now. And Jeremy is from Democratic Republic of Congo, and he is serving in Liberia. We're so glad to have you both with us today. And I know we're all excited to know more about what you are doing, but first, please take a moment to introduce yourselves. And Jeremy, you can start introducing yourself now.
Hello, thank you very much, Natalie. It is a good time to introduce myself. Thank you to all friends who are following everywhere from their countries. My name is Jeremy Nsenga Umba. As mentioned by Natalie, I'm coming from Congo, DRC, and currently I'm serving in Liberia, Liberia Annual Conference. I'm working with the Hope for the Deaf program. So we're dealing with the education and ministry for the deaf. So that is my main work in Liberia. Thank you so much, and continue and listen more how we work in Liberia through many questions. Thank you.
Thank you. That's really interesting. I would love to know Liberia someday. now, Olivia, please, you can introduce yourself now.
Thank you so much. Hello, everyone. How are you, Jeremy? It's good to see you today. My name is Evelyn Olivia Zulu, and I am a Zambian currently serving in Kenya at Moheto Health Center as a nurse there. Thank you.
Okay, perfect. If you're tuning in for the first time and just have joined us, Open Space Conversation is a one-hour program on Encuentro Radio, an online station by CEPALC based in Bogota, Colombia. And it's a space where missionaries from around the world come together to share their experiences and reflect on the work they do, from human rights to health, to education, migration, community work, and more. And as you listen, remember you can stay in touch with us by sending your messages or greetings through Encuentros Radio social media. You can find us on Instagram at Cepalc, downscore, Encuentro downscore radio, and on Facebook as / Encuentro Radio, or reach us via WhatsApp at +57 302 521 2342. I say it again, +57 302 521 2342. And today's conversation topic is deaf inclusion in health, education, and faith. And now, Jeremy, as I said, we're so glad to have you with us today and so excited to know more about your both works. And please, you can start with this open space conversation.
Thank you very much, Natalie, for the chance, the opportunity you gave me to start with the question. I've been to my friend Olivia there in Kenya, I think Moito. For my first question, I want to know from your experience, what are the main barriers deaf individuals faced when taking care at the hospital or at the health care center? So what are those main barriers for deaf individuals?
So the main barriers we face at my facility would be communication barriers. So for our health facility, we do not have interpreters to interpret to us in case we have a situation where there's a deaf client there. So as a hospital, we do not have any interpreters there. So the main barrier would be communication barriers. As well as another barrier would be if that client or the patient comes into the facility to seek medical help, without a person to interpret for us. So that's where the challenge is. Thank you.
Wow, thank you very much. So you don't have interpreters? Yeah. Okay, so in your mission, do you have sign language? Though you say you don't have sign language interpreters, that's all. Okay, so apart from sign language interpreters, do you have some written materials or visual aids to obtain information and consent from the deaf patients in your mission?
So in our facility is where we do not have interpreters, but at the church we do have interpreters, just to correct you there, Jeremy. And yeah, we do have some chats. Like when our patients walk in, we have included the deaf into the community in such a way that we have chats. So in case you do not have an interpreter and you want to obtain information from this patient comes in and they're telling you they are not feeling well, you are going to look at the chat and try to sign to kind of like express or to demonstrate to them, or try to like communicate with them to see if to obtain information from them. So I will give an example of a patient that has come in with a headache and they're trying to tell you they have a headache using sign language and you do not know. So you are going to go with them to the chats and they can like point out the sign or the expression that gives a headache. I don't know if I'm making sense here, Jeremy.
Yeah, you are very, very clear. I think your answer is very clear. I understand. So, okay, that's some, it is enough. So, are some sermon and prayers, songs, but also being interpreted in sign language for the deaf inclusion in the worship in your church?
Yes, Jeremy, yes. The deaf people actually, they play a very big role in our church. Many people would not believe it if I said we have a deaf choir in the church. So we do have interpreters in the church. We have a male interpreter and a female interpreter in the church. So every service that we have here is interpreted in sign language, because the deaf are actually very, very active in the church. So we have, like I said, we have a deaf choir, and the deaf sign, when it's their time to, I don't know if I can call it singing, but when it's their time to be like on the stage, they perform in sign language, and we have the interpreter that is going to speak their sign language, like that is going to interpret to the church what they are singing or what they are trying to communicate with us. So yes.
Wow.
Wow, it's so amazing. So I will live in Kenya soon. because you have everything for there. So, okay, my fourth question is about which resources can be used to include deaf in individual in deaf care. How can, which resources we can use and to include deaf? You know, many deaf, I see few deaf who study about deaf care. But so, how can we use, what can we use as a resource to include deaf individual in deaf care?
So we can use like interpretation services. So like I said, our healthcare does not have interpreters, so we would really appreciate it if they introduced some interpreters in the health facility. And another resource would be community and peer support, like collaborating with the deaf community organizations for outreach and education. So we need to be going for outreaches, and we need to sensitize the public about the importance of health facilities having interpreters, because you never know. Yeah. So another one would also be community health programs delivered in sign language. So, for example, the way we go for outreaches, it would be very important for us to also go with an interpreter who's going to sign to the deaf in case the deaf come for our outreaches. So, yeah.
Okay, so that's good. Is it possible for a deaf to do health science at the university or college?
Can you please repeat your question? I didn't hear it.
I say, you say you can use, we can train deaf, we can train the community. So is it possible, as you know, the health science, I think you did the science at the university. Is it possible?
Is it possible to teach the deaf science sign language? I'm sorry, your network.
Deaf science. Deaf science. So a deaf can become a nurse, a deaf can become a doctor, so that's my question. Is it possible for a deaf to become a nurse?
Well, you know what? That is kind of a tricky question to answer, because I have never really come across a deaf nurse. But you know what, with the way communication is these days, or the way the world is developing, it's very possible for a deaf person to be a nurse, to be a doctor. It is possible, because most of the procedures we do as nurses or as doctors don't require talking, unless you're trying to get consent from the patient, or you are trying to screen this patient, you're trying to get like a history from them. That's where the problem comes in. But when you're doing a procedure, I don't think you need to really talk, because we are afraid of contaminating the area we are doing the procedure on. So it's possible 50-50. I don't know. Yeah, it could be possible.
Thank you. It's very interesting. I remember one time advised my friend, he's a deaf. So I say, after school, you can do the exercise. No, I cannot do it because I'm deaf. So I ask you, because you are an nurse, you know what happened there. So it's only for speaking people, or even a deaf can be a nurse. That's why I asked that question. Okay, thank you. So my last question is all about the deaf culture. So can healthcare staff attend the free training on deaf culture and basic EF sign language if provided?
Yes, Jeremy. I think it's very important that people under the health sector learn how to sign, because it's going to make the deaf people feel included, especially in healthcare facilities. Because I feel like most deaf people don't come to the hospital when they're feeling ill, because they feel like they have no way to express themselves, or they feel like they have no way they're going to communicate with you because you are speaking and you don't know. So if such a program came in, or if somebody provided a free training on how to sign, how to use sign language, or how to do sign language, definitely the staff would participate. Like, I would participate. I would definitely learn how to sign.
Yeah, thank you very much. I think that is also my recommendation, sir. So as you are working the F career, you can advise and talk to many F care to attend basically deaf sign language, so to know how to communicate. That is also my recommendation. So thank you very much. Those was my questions. Thank you.
Thank you. I have a couple more questions. There isn't a long question, so don't worry. How can people support your work, Olivia? If you have friends or family that would like to support your work, how can they do that?
So people can support my work through my advance number. I would appreciate people's donations so that they can, the global missions can use this donation. My advance number is 3022884. I'm going to repeat it. 3022884. Thank you.
Okay, perfect. Well, for those who don't know, the advance number, it's like an identification you can use to support a lot of missionaries around the world. The advance page is a page where you can, like, donate to this kind of work, like, service that is being done around the world. So I have one more question for you, Olivia. Really stood me out the sign language choirs. I don't know if I'm saying correctly, choir. I would never think about that. So please, if you can send us a video someday about that, because I would love to see it.
I would definitely do that. We have a deaf choir every Sunday, so our programs are already we have a schedule. So we have the junior choir, elderly choir, then we have the deaf choir as well. So I'm going to send you a video, and you can share it with everybody. If we can do it, the deaf can do it.
Yeah, wow, that's really amazing work. And I have one last question for you. I know you're doing an amazing job, but I know it's complicated to move on to a place where you are not, like, used to be, right? We all missionaries miss our homes. So did you have some cultural shocks when you arrived there?
Yeah, I actually did have some culture shocks, a few culture shocks, and one of them would be, I don't know if it's okay to say it here, but I'm still going to say it anyway.
Okay.
they still practice female genitalia mutilation, like female circumcision here. It's something that I heard used to happen like in the 1980s, 1970s. I didn't think people still practice that practice here. And it's actually a culture shock, and it's interesting. There will be one happening. I'm not sure if we are allowed as missionaries or global missions to attend, but I would like to see or experience what happens there. Another cultural shock I've been facing here is where I come from. In Zambia, we buy raw fish. We do not buy it cooked unless it's in a restaurant. But here, when you go outside, just take a few steps, you will find people selling cooked fish everywhere. And it's been a cultural shock, but very exciting for me because I do not like to cook. So if you want to have a very fast meal, just buy fish and go and eat it from home.
Okay. Do you miss any of your local dishes?
The food in Kenya and Zambia are very, very similar. It's just the way we prepare it. So I wouldn't say I'm missing a local dish at home because we have everything here, and it's just the way we prepare it that's different. So no.
Oh, okay. That's great. In my case, it's sort of similar because, I am still in Latin America, but there are like some foods that are not the same, but I can find all the ingredients for do Salvadorian food here, so I haven't missed so much. And so thank you, Olivia, for your participation and for answering all Jeremy's questions. And now we're moving into the first musical break, and this time we'll be listening to a song chosen by Jeremy, but I can't pronounce that song, so please, Jeremy, if you can introduce the song.
Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, the song we're going to listen now is called Bonjour à tous. It is from French language, so that means greeting to all. May God bless you. May have a good morning. It is the evening. You have a good evening. So it is a song for the blessing. So when you're listening to this song, feel blessed. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll be right back.
Bonjour à tous, bonjour. Bonjour à tous, bonjour à chacun. Un sourire pour vous, un salut pour chacun. Je vous souhaite une journée radieuse, remplie de joie, de bonheur et de lumière. Que la journée soit belle, que le ciel soit bleu, que vos cœurs soient légers, que vos rêves se réalisent.
Bonjour à tous, bonjour.
Je vous souhaite tout le meilleur, et je vous envoie un grand bonjour, avec amour et sincérité. Bonjour les amis, bonjour les proches. Bonjour à tous ceux qui sont là et à ceux qui sont loin. Je vous envoie un câlin, un sourire et un bisou pour vous dire que je pense à vous et que je vous souhaite une bonne journée.
Bonjour à tous, bonjour.
Bonjour à tous, c'est un nouveau jour. Un jour pour sourire, pour aimer. Pour vivre, je vous souhaite une journée remplie de joie, et je vous envoie un grand bonjour avec tout mon cœur et mon âme.
Bonjour à tous, bonjour.
Bonjour, bonjour, c'est le matin, un nouveau jour se lève. Avec des promesses de bonheur, je vous souhaite une journée radieuse, remplie de soleil, de rire. et que vos souhaits soient exaucés. Je vous envoie un grand bonjour avec amour et amitié. Pour vous dire que je pense à vous et que je vous souhaite une bonne journée.
Bonjour à tous, bonjour.
Bonjour à tous où que vous soyez. Je vous envoie un sourire et un câlin pour vous réchauffer. Que cette journée soit pour vous un jour de bonheur et de joie. Et que vos cœurs soient remplis d'amour et de lumière.
Bonjour à tous, bonjour.
Bonjour, bonjour, c'est un nouveau jour. Un jour pour commencer, pour recommencer. Je vous souhaite une journée remplie de possibilités. Et je vous envoie un grand bonjour avec tout mon cœur et mon âme.
Welcome back to Open Space Conversation. This is our second segment of this program, and we are still so excited to know more about each other's work as missionaries. And now it's Olivia's turn to go out with the interview. So please, this is your time.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. And Jeremy, it's my turn to put you in a tough spot now. I'm just kidding. So I have a few questions about your POA, with which number one would be, what are the biggest communication barriers in relationships between deaf and hearing individuals, and how can they be overcome?
Thank you, Olivia, for your question. I think it's a good question. The biggest barriers I've seen are three barriers. The first one is the language mismatch. The second is assumption, and the third one is impatience. So I can explain one by one. Most hearing people do not know sign language, so I can assume under 100%, we can have only, if many, 10% only of hearing people who know the sign language. So that is the main barrier for communication between those two people. But also, the assumption. Hearing people assume that deafness is a disability. We call it that disability, but it's not a disability. Because if you say that you are a disabled people, it's still bad. But we call the deafness as a culture. It's like a society, like I'm speaking English, this one is speaking French, so that is the difference. So that is the main barrier. So hearing people assume that deafness is a disability. That is the main problem. But also the third one is impatience. Sometimes hearing people can engage in speaking with a deaf individual, but it cannot be patient waiting for the answer. You know, a deaf to explain, you can take time to understand him. So many hearing people, they don't have that time to wait for the answer. So we just command, do this, but cannot wait for the answer to understand. So how to overcome those problems? Firstly, it's better to learn basic sign language. So if sign language is not a problem, that we have to know everything in it. No, you can just know some basic. He sends some language, some signs, so you understand. You know, for example, because it is a radio, I cannot show a sign. If I'm telling about food, lunch, something to eat, everything to eat, have the same gesture to show. So it's a simple thing to learn basic sign language. But also we can use multiple channels like testing. Many deaf those who know how to read and how to write, you can communicate with them through writing. You can write a text, a message, you send, or you can use a paper, you write it, your sentence there, your message, and you read the answer through your paper that you send. So, but also we can use the gesture, our body to speak. You know, even if you don't know the sign language, you can use the body. That you call gestures, you can use it so that you can help a deaf to understand. As some people, I'm teaching deaf, I'm a teacher also, I'm teaching deaf. Sometimes deaf like to, when you are pronouncing the words, so if you get a boy, you see the how you use your lips, boy. I say you're calling a boy. You can call his name or her name, you see. You call Jeremy, you see, the way you are using, you are opening your lips, you understand. So you can use your lips to help a deaf to understand the word that you try to speak, if you don't know the sign. Okay, but also, as we say for the first time, you can use interpreters. You can, and don't use interpreter for free. That cannot help. We can just pay interpreters, so to include deaf. Because if you don't have interpreters, as you say, you don't have interpreters to the hospital, it is the main problem for deaf. He can come to the hospital, he say, I'm feeling my belly, I don't know, something is working in my belly. So the way it's turning, you cannot understand. There is no material to show it. So you see, a doctor cannot understand it. He can treat other, so the disease, the other thing, and the doctor can manage other things. So that is the problem. So, but also at the last, we can ask a deaf individual their preference. Some deaf like to write. Others like to sign. You can use just your body, even if you don't know. So, if for example, a deaf come to your hospital, to your F center, you can ask him, what do you prefer? We can write, or you can sign, or we can do an interpretation via Google. You know, sometimes you use sign language. Application. We have a phone application about sign language, so you can use it. He writes the word there, he shows you the words on his phone. So that's also a good method to communicate clearly with deaf and not confusing things. Thank you.
Wow. You are actually very right. Now I have a question out of curiosity. What language is sign language? Is it English that is signed? Is it French? Is it, I don't know, because I feel like sign language, people that speak sign language or people that sign, do it in one specific language. Is it English, or do they need to know how to sign language in their mother tongue?
Thank you very much. Sign language, there is small difference in sign language. We have, but now we are trying to connect all sign language in America sign language. It is not an English, it is not a French, it is not a Swahili for those East Africa, because you are in East Africa. If I'm signing, people from Kenya can understand me. People from Zambia, from Congo, from Liberia, from USA can understand what I'm signing. But the difference is that there is some sign which depend on the first letter of the words. For example, I'm telling about foods. In English, it starts by F. So I can sign with F. But in French, it starts by, N. So I can sign with N. You see the difference. But the same gesture, different just in the letter F, N. So even if I sign with N in French, that one from USA, you can understand that it is something to eat. So there is small difference just in letters. Thank you.
Wow, that is very interesting. Very, very interesting. Thank you, Jeremy. So my next question would be, how does lack of understanding about deaf culture affect friendships, family relationships, or romantic relationships?
Yeah, so this is a good question, because many people face many problems in the relationship deaf and hearing people. So if hearing people try to engage with deaf, it's a big problem. But when people don't understand deaf culture, they treat deafness, as I said, for the first time as disability. So in friendship, hearing people excludes deaf people. You see, deaf friends without meaning to making plan by phone call telling. Some people can explain that. For example, I'm hearing people. If I have deaf friends, I can avoid talking too much to them. You see, I have many problems to explain them, but I don't know how can I explain it. It is very difficult for me to explain to deaf. Even a deaf, he has many problems to talk to me. So our friendship cannot go far. Even if we are friends, but just friends to greeting. Hello, hello, finish. But I cannot tell him a big problem for if I am seeking help. So that is because I don't know sign, he don't know how to speak. So we are different culture. I'm speaking, he's not speaking. So that is the first. But also in romantic relationship, lack of understanding cause the loneliness and hearing partner might refuse to learn sign language. That is, for example, you have your fiancé, I don't know, your husband or wife is a deaf or she's or a deaf, so it's difficult to understand each other. If a hearing people refuse to learn the sign language, the problem is that us as hearing people, we have the responsibility to learn sign language, because we cannot teach a deaf to speak. It's very difficult. But as a hearing people, I can learn how to sign, so I can speak with my wife, I can speak with my partner. But if I say no, she must learn how to speak. It's very difficult. So that affects the relationship. And so a deaf can feel home. He cannot, for example, I can say, I have my students there. The class ends at 2 p.m. But you can find the students stay at school till 6 p.m. And when I ask why, he say, when I go home, no one talk to me. Everyone is talking. They are happy watching TV. So happy they are laughing. But me, no one can talk to me. So I can stay at school where there is my friend. We can talk. I can discuss. So you see that it affects the relationship in the family. So the child go home, but he feel like he's not at home. You see that. So thank you.
Oh, that is actually very sad. I've actually noticed that most deaf people are either married to a fellow deaf person. It's very rare to find a deaf person and a speaking person married because of this communication barrier right there. But I have a friend who has dated a deaf person before, and she doesn't know how to sign. So I used to ask her this question all the time, say, what if this person does something you do not like they piss you off? How do you express yourself? And the reason their relationship couldn't work out is because she wasn't able to express herself in such situations. So I understand what you mean by that. Okay, so here's another question for you, Jeremy. What roles does effective communication play in maintaining healthy relationships with deaf individuals in education and daily life?
Thank you very much for your question. It's also a good question again. I can say effective communication is the foundation. It is the main thing. So without it, there is no relationship, as we say for the first question, for the second question. If there is no effective communication, there is no relationship. As you say, hearing people can engage a deaf girl. So you see, it's very difficult to understand each other. I want this, but how I can express it? So that's why I say there is no relationship if there is no effective communication. Even if you are hearing, I'm hearing and you're hearing, if there is no effective communication, there is no relationship. So I can say only a proximity in education, a deaf student who can't access the lesson isn't just missing content, but they are missing jokes, social cues, group work, so many things. For our school here, we just have primary school for deaf. after primary school, they go to the secondary school, they meet hearing people, hearing students there. So their teacher are not teaching in sign, they are just writing notes so deaf can just read and understand himself. So we see that problem. So there is no effective communication. A teacher starts explaining hearing people, but deaf cannot understand what the teacher is explaining. But he can read, yeah. He read, but he don't understand. Sometimes he needs some explanation from a teacher. So a teacher also doesn't know the sign language. That is also the main problem. So in daily life, about dignity, if a deaf person goes to the market and nobody tries to communicate, they are dependent forever. You see, a deaf go in the market trying to buy something, so who can understand him? How much is this? Cannot understand. Or a hearing people can say this is 20,000. How we can sign it? So a deaf needs someone to help. So a deaf continue to be dependent. See, so it depends on someone to help for the communication. So there is no effective communication. A deaf wants to buy something, wants the price reduction, but who can help? So he continue go to such someone to come to interpret for it. So you see, that also affects the market. Some deaf can try to do business, but it's very difficult for him because he cannot communicate easily with his clients. But also I want to say, but if the seller learn to point, use a calculator or price, or write some the price on the paper, that can help a deaf. He send some the right, this is $2. Okay, see, they write $2. You understand, $2. That it is sometimes help the communication. I want to say the problem for the deaf, they like to, if you fail to sign, you can write. That is for them the good communication for them. Even I sometimes I can go in the classroom, I see how can I explain these words. You try to explain, they don't understand. You try, but I can use drawing. I can draw something and do some gesture. They understand. Okay, this you can sign, but they still don't understand. So to have a good communication, you have to understand what is the preference. They can understand using the drawing or using the message I write or using the body language. So that is. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Jeremy. So you've talked about writing in case you want to communicate with this deaf person that has come to either your facility or your school. What I'm trying to understand is, for me who's from Zambia and I am in Kenya. In Kenya, they speak Swahili. So do I write it in English or do I need like write it in Swahili? So that's where the conflict with my mind is coming in, because I'm a little bit confused on what language to write it in for the person to understand me. So that could be maybe another communication barrier, I think.
I can complete you by there. You see, every country has that we call official language. Okay? So there is that mother tongue. As in Kenya, it's Kiswahili. They speak mother tongue Swahili. But a deaf doesn't learn Swahili. Learn English. Yes, I know Kenya is an English country. Like in Liberia, there is also mother tongue here, but they learn English. English. If you go in Congo, there are many, many mother tongues there, but they learn French. So that is, so they are looking just the main language in the country. So that everyone can speak in the country is English in Kenya. If you go in Tanzania, I think Tanzania, they are using specially Swahili because that is the official language there. When you go in Zambia, it's English. You can write for English. When you go in Congo, it's French. You can write for French. So if you are in the place, you can ask for the official language. What is the official language? If it is English, you can write in English for them.
Perfect. Okay, Jeremy. So I have a few more questions for you. And How can families, partners, or communities better support deaf individuals to feel included and valued?
Thank you for your good question again. You say, how can family, partners, or community better support deaf individuals to feel included and valued? Yeah, it's a good question. That is the main objective of many schools. So I can say, first I can start by the family. The family, it's better to learn sign language as a family. And that is our program here. We are trying to teach parents for our students basic sign language. Because sometimes we give homework to students. They go home, they who can help? No one. But if a parent know how to sign some words, how to sort addition, subtraction, some in mathematics, he can understand, they can help a student at home. So as I say, the family can learn sign language at the family, not just the deaf child. That is nothing. We can teach a deaf at school, we teach sign, we teach many things, but if you go home, nothing. So that is the problem. So the first thing, the family can learn sign language. But also about partners, commit to bilingual relationship. If you want to learn your partner language, you are asking them to live up their life to, for you. So to attend deaf community events together, deaf defend them when your family exclude them. That it means sometimes you can fence a partner, fend a deaf. I'm talking about a relationship for marriage, for example. I fend a deaf girl, I love her, and I want to marry her. But my family say, no, you cannot marry a deaf, oh, blah, blah, and something. So I can defend her. So when you defend her, you value her. So she can feel that, oh, this boy, he value me. So, but if I say, okay, I accept the advice of my family, I leave the gate, she can feel that she is excluded. She doesn't have any importance in the society. But if I defend her, she feel that she's loved, she's in the community, no one can exclude him. So that is the first thing. But also to attend the events. For example, they call me, they invite me to their birthday. One day as a birthday, they invite me, and it is good. If they see hearing people there, or they celebrate there, if it is any program, any events, if you, the deaf prepare it, not just say that is for deaf. No, it's better to attend the events to encourage them. I remember here in Liberia we have the Deaf Sunday. It was not for just for deaf. We call hearing people there, blind people, every people there in the church. So they feel, oh, we are not alone. So people love us. So as you say, you have the choir. Even here they sing, they preach in the sign language. Everything, the Sunday, that day, it was just in sign language. So they feel that they are valued in the community. The church values them. So the church can give them opportunity to lead, can give them the opportunity to preach also, and you'll search for the interpreter for those hearing. Not just the interpreter who interprets for deaf, no. We can give a deaf to preach, read the Bible and preach, and then we call the interpreter, he will interpret what deaf is preaching. That is also make them to feel that, okay, we are the same. So we are the same in the community. That is a good, so thank you.
Okay, the last but not the least question is society doing enough to prepare people, in brackets, teachers, healthcare workers, church leaders, to build meaningful relationships with deaf individuals?
Personally, I say the society is not doing enough. Because if we compare right now, teachers, especially teachers, graduate from high school. I can say high school, university, college. They do not have courses in sign language. You see, you can try to visit schools, university, they can start many courses, but they don't have sign language there. So I can say to all those who are following me that it's better, especially to the university, to the college, to include sign language as a course, as a subject to learn at the university, even at the high school. So even if you finish to start, you know basic sign language, even they call you to sit to the deaf school, you can teach easily. But right now, there is no, I can say there is no, I try to introduce my the request to the university here that they can include deaf sign language to the university. So every department in health, in education, in commerce, everything, they can include sign language there. But it is the problem. But also in healthcare, as you are working there, workers aren't trained or informed in deaf sign language or how to have consent from a deaf. I think, I don't know, in Zambia, if you have that course or subject where you learn how to work with deaf, I don't know. But many, many universities and the college doesn't deal with deaf. It just, I can call it emergence. We call it emergence. If you meet with deaf, you know how to deal with him. But there's no special course that we can learn, okay, as a nurse, I can interact with the deaf. There is not that, those special courses. So, but also church leaders want to include deaf people, but don't budget for interpreters or train people to interpret in the church. You know, the pastor just say, welcome all, deaf, blind, all people welcome, but they do not budget for it. You see, you can go many churches here, we can find in the city or in the town, we have only if many, 5 church only. So a deaf can go even 12 kilometers to find a church where there are interpreters. So it is a problem. But if we find every church, we see there are interpreters, that is good. So a deaf cannot go far to find a church. Thank you.
Okay, so one last question, Jeremy. How can people support you?
Thank you very much. People can support me through my address number, which is 3022873. I repeat again, 3022873. But also they can contact me via WhatsApp, email. I can give of course my WhatsApp map, my WhatsApp number. You can start by the Liberia code, that's +231 77 71 40 37 I repeat again, +231 77 71 40 737. That is my WhatsApp number. But also, if you text me at WhatsApp number, I can send you my email and also my link where you can learn how we work. But also, I can try to start sending you my newsletter when I make it.
Okay, thank you so much. And remember, if you are not able to donate to our advance numbers or anything, you can also support us through prayers and through sharing this kind of programs, because we want this communication, these programs can be shared and others can also know about what our missionaries are doing around the world. So I have one last question for you, Jeremy, and this is like a personal question that came to my mind. In your home country, did you have the opportunity to interact with other deaf individuals, or this was your first time in your POA?
Yeah, yes.
Yeah.
In my country, I'm project director. I was a project director for deaf people.
But what?
And the name for the
Okay. No, go on.
Yeah, the name for the program is called the Malemankulu Deaf. If you see in my WhatsApp, I have it. Malemankulu Deaf Training Center. So it's me, okay. I initiate that project. So I start the project and still it's going on. It's a good project. It did by training them in life skills, but also in education.
Okay, I haven't understand well, but that's really great. So thank you so much for sharing your insights with us today. And I know both of your works are very amazing, and we are so glad to have you with us and hearing your stories with us today. And thank you so much for our audience. And this is our time for the second segment, music segment. And we are hearing this song that's called Overcome. This has been chosen by Olivia. So let's hear it, and we'll be back for the closing our program. Okay, we want to take a moment to thank our guests, Olivia and Jeremy, and for being with us today and for sharing their stories so openly. It's been a real joy having you with us here. And before we close, we'd love to give you both a moment to share any final thought or send your greetings to our listeners or something. If you want, this is your time.
I would actually like to say thank you to everybody that took the time to listen to what we had to share with each other and to listen to the work we are doing. And like you had said, Natalie, supporting us does not mean you can support us in monetary form only. You can also support us through liking our page, our Global Mission Pillars page. We would appreciate that a lot. Thank you.
Thank you very much. As said by Olivia, you can support us through prayers. You can pray for us. And you can support us by following also our page on Facebook, Global Mission Fellow 2025-2027. But also, I want also to recommend to all those who are working with universities, please try to include deaf courses at your university and college. But because that helps to include them, so they can feel valued also. They can include sign language there. And you can ask one person for interpreting sign. Just can help. So thank you very much for the time to listen to us. Thank you, Natalie. Thank you, the radio also. And I take this time to say that I feel blessed to participate in this conversation. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, and thank you for sharing your thoughts and your stories. I am pretty sure that you are planted, you have planted a seed today, because that is, now it's a thing that I have to include more in my everyday life, and I would love to include that, and also in the church work. So I will have that in mind, and thank you so much for getting this awareness to the people. And remember, you can catch us every other Tuesday from 10 to 11 a.m. Colombian time on encuentroradio.com.co and also on TuneIn. We're so excited to keep these conversations going and to continue building this community together. And as we wrap up today's program, we'll leave you with one last song. This is Echo by Elevation Worship. And a reminder that God's voice and love are always with us. Until we meet again, may you go with peace, stay encouraged, and keep sharing hope wherever you are. Goodbye for now. Thank you so much.
When night has fallen, when fear is coming, still you're calling me. When faith is lost and my hope exhausted, you will be my strength. When my mind